Challenges of life. I know some who are struggling financially. The last few years, there's been an awful lot of people in the United States lost their homes. I don't know what that would be like, but I can't imagine. You have to walk away. We have a house right back here in our development. People lost it. And their reaction was to tear everything up that they could. Damage the home the best they could. They didn't react very well to the circumstances. I know some individuals who are struggling with family problems. I've been with couples as they talk about divorce. Families having struggle with young people in their family, grandkids. Can be real anxiety involved. Been with families that are struggling with their children having drug addictions. Going to prison, going to jail. I know some who have received word of cancer and health struggles. I sat yesterday afternoon with a brother that I've known at the Smithsburg football game, the homecoming game, and I had noticed where he worked that it just things weren't quite right, and so they told me yesterday he is struggling with Parkinson's disease. He lost his job, went in one morning, been working there 26 years, and walked in that morning and they told him, you no longer have a job. So people are struggling, and I know that there's an awful lot of individuals who have their struggles at times with things in life, and sometimes they cry out and they say, how can I make it? I don't know if you've ever been there yet or not. How can I make it? Just recently, a teenage girl, I think she was 12 years old, Florida, bullied on the internet by classmates, went out to a concrete plant that was closed down and climbed a tower and leaped to her death. I can't make it. That was the cry. I can't take this. These kids bullying me. Putting the pressure on. Is there a way? Many people ask. Is there a source we can go to? That regardless of what we face, and receive the wherewithal to be able to overcome. Is there a place, regardless of what comes your way, bullying, sickness, financial struggles, relationship problems, is there some place where I can go and receive a source of a help to overcome that? And the answer is a resounding yes. Amen. There is. Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of the Apostle Paul? Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He's our biblical example. He was a great man of God. Nobody can ever fuss about his commitment to the Lord. You know, he had a great conversion. You remember, you've read about it. His trip to Damascus, and great light came down on him and he fell to the ground and God spoke audibly to him. He blinded him. The light blinded him. And God spoke in a voice he could hear. And because of that experience, he received Christ. Oh, wow. You talk about a personal experience with Christ. He had it. Experienced great spiritual experiences. He wrote about a man, and we kind of believe it was him. He said a man that he knew that one time was caught up into a third heaven and saw and heard things that was unlawful. I've often scratched my head and said, Paul, what in the world did you hear? What in the world did you see? Unlawful for him to talk about to other people here on this earth. Not even Timothy he could tell. Not even his closest friends. Can you imagine having an experience with God like that? And yet, this great man of God, when he started his ministry and received his call, his troubles started then. How many think that when you get saved, boy, it ought to be all peachy keen, hunky-dory from there on? Everything ought to go smooth, and just life should be a life of ease, a life of, anybody remember him used to say, a life of rally? Bill? Now, I know I'm not as old as you are, Bill. Anybody else heard of what does it mean, a life of rally? Who was Rally?
William Bendix.
William Bendix. It was a TV program. You didn't know that, Marcia? Where have you been all of my life? Everything went well. Well, we know that's not true, and it wasn't true for Paul. He faced much opposition, and during his ministry, he experienced beatings, torture, being in prison. They stoned him. He was shipwrecked, bitten by a deadly serpent and expected to die. On top of that, his integrity was called into question. And finally, he was beheaded for his preaching. What an illustrious ministry. Huh? How many want us to receive the call of God to preach? I've been blessed. I've never been in prison except to visit. I've never been bitten by a snake. Thank the Lord I killed all I could see. I've never been shipwrecked. I've been on a number of them. And a few weeks ago, I was laying in bed, and we were out there in that deep blue Atlantic Ocean, and I thought, what if this thing went down? I said, there's ground underneath. Yeah. But Paul experienced these things. His whole ministry was filled with troubles. Accompanying all these things, he confessed on top of that on one occasion that he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. There's a lot of guessing as to what might have been. Poor eyesight or something of that nature. But he had a thorn in the flesh that bothered him to the point that 3 times he prayed and asked God to take it away. Now here's the great apostle Paul talking to God. If anybody could move God, Paul should have been able to move God. Amen. And God said to Paul, no. But Lord, I've been stoned. I've been in prison. I've been shipwrecked. I've been bitten by serpents. I've been whipped. God, why won't you listen to me? We don't hear that. He prayed three times, and God said, no. I've sent it as a means of buffeting you to keep you humble. You don't ever hear him mention it again. It's over. When he got his answer from God, even though it wasn't the answer he wanted, he never grumbles or complains about the thorn in the flesh from there on out. Never hear another word. It's over. It's done. I've got my answer. What did God tell him on that occasion? God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee.
Amen.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. God says to Paul, though you have all of these experiences, which most of us would take as negative experiences, and though you have this thing in your body that is constantly terrifying you and bothering you, and you've prayed for to have it removed, and it's not going to go, it's going to stay with you. But I want you to know this, Paul. By my grace, you can make it. And that's what I want us to hear today. We that have our struggles, we that have our problems, we that have our challenges of life. And I hear it from time to time. I hear it. I get the phone calls. Pastor Lay, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I hear the answer that God gave to Paul. My grace is sufficient. You see, God gives us an answer for trials and pain. It's grace. Grace is God's presence, His favor, His power. And it is a heavenly strength given those who call on God. I want you to underline in your mind those words, presence, favor, and power. Write them down. Think of it. Put it. Grace equals God's presence, God's favor, and God's power. And that's what God tells Paul that you're going to need in order to be able to face the challenges of life. See, God might not have given Paul what he wanted, but he gave him what he needed. Let that sink in. How many of you have asked God, I want something? And God seemingly said no. Why did He say no? Did He not tell us in the Word He would give us all the needs? He would supply all our needs? So if I have something I'm praying for and God seemingly says no to me, what is He saying? Jonathan Lay, you don't need that. I'll give you what you need. You need this challenge. You need this pain. You need this suffering. You need this trial to help you to understand the power and the grace and the favor and the presence of God in your life. You see, God's answer to Paul is His answer to us. God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Every benefit given by God to you and I is by grace. You don't have anything that you have but for the grace of God.
Amen.
You get up in this, I get up this morning, I opened a brand new box of Honey Nut Cheerios. I'm backslidden. You see, on a Sunday morning, I don't have time for the grape nut flakes. Because I've got to cut a banana up on them. And then you have to sprinkle that yellow stuff all over it, you know, that sweetener all over it. Yeah, it makes it tasty. And then pour sugar on, wait for it to soak a little bit. I have to have something in a hurry that I can just pour honey over top of it and put milk on it and start eating. So Sunday mornings I backslide. What was I getting at? Every benefit, everything we have, the clothes you wear, the house you live in, the strength and the health you have, the ability to be here, all of that is provided to us by the grace of God. Even the sinners that didn't get up and come to church this morning, the only reason they have a house, the only reason they're still alive, the only reason they have any blessings of life is for by the grace of God. Amen. Without the grace of God, nobody would have anything. But you see, there is power in the grace of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, what? Full of grace. Jesus was full of grace, God's grace, God's presence, God's favor, God's power. He was full of grace and truth. You see, God's grace gave Jesus the ability to cope with His needs of life. How many know that Jesus had some challenges?
Amen.
They hated Him. They plotted to kill Him. They wanted to destroy Him, and eventually and finally they had Him crucified. You talk about how many of us have been there. You remember that prayer He had to pray in the garden? What gave Him the ability to go to the cross? God's grace, presence with Him. And that's what He says here. We beheld the flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's talking about Jesus. And we beheld His glory, and He was full of grace and truth. Then we go to John 1:16. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, that is grace upon grace, that is grace enough to meet all our needs no matter the circumstances. Amen? That's what He's saying. We all have received His fullness and grace for grace. Or in other words, God, once you're saved, once you're born again, once you become a believer in Christ, you have at your disposal enough grace to take care of whatever circumstance comes your way. Don't give me this stuff, I can't take it. Don't give me this stuff that I can't make it. Don't give me this stuff, poor me. Give me this stuff, I can do it through the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. Enough of God's presence, enough of His favor, and enough of His power is given to meet all our needs, no matter the circumstances. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There's 2 Corinthians 9:8, Paul says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Hallelujah. That is all grace, as much as needed. Hallelujah. You ever been trying to push a car or move something and you needed just a little more, and somebody come along and said, let me help. And so they extra strength gets it going. I saw a fellow the other day, and they were scout leaders, and they were out in the desert someplace, and these rock formations out there, and one of these guys, big hefty fellow, they had this rock balancing on just a little tiny, you know, you've seen those things, and he got a hold of that thing and pushing, and he couldn't move it, and he put his foot up against some other rocks and started, he pushed that thing off of there. Now they're going to fine him. Should have left it alone. But see, when he got his foot up against that other rock, he had enough, whatever it takes. And God knows, when you get in a circumstance, when you get in a position where you feel like, I can't take anymore, I can't handle anymore, I don't know what to do, God says, here's an extra bit of my grace. You can do it.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
He gives us all grace. Makes all grace abound toward you, that you always having, listen, all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. All sufficiency. Grace to take care of anything. Let them tell me I've got cancer. God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Let them tell me they're going to take my house. God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Let them tell me they don't like me anymore. God's grace is sufficient.
Yes.
I don't care what the circumstance. It makes no difference to God. Because He's saying He has all sufficient. It's at your disposal. Glory. You've heard me say before, I had a gentleman on the Eastern Shore. He was about 6'4", weighed 300 and about 20 some pound. Pick up a 100-pound sack of feed with one hand, put it on his shoulder, stand over top of an automobile truck engine and lift it off the ground. Man, when I went places and he was with me, I said, Lord, any of you dare? Huh? That's the way God is with us. It doesn't matter who challenges you. How many know the devil's going to challenge you? How many the devil is going to conspire ways in which he can try to trip you up? Ways in which he can get you to doubt. Ways in which he can get you to give up your faith and feel despondent and discouraged and say, well, I'm not going back to church anymore. The devil is about as a roaring lion seeking to devour you. But let me tell you, the one that is walking by your side has promised you all sufficiency in His power, in His favor, in His presence to take care of anything that the devil will throw at you.
Amen.
Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Listen to James. But he gives more grace. Hallelujah. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody, you know, Brother Sherm here, he works out. He goes to bodybuilding contests. He's just fortunate I haven't ever showed up at one. That would be the day, wouldn't it? And it's nice to have all of that, you know. It's nice to... But I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to fighting the devil, there wasn't a man I've ever known as great in the grace and presence of Christ as a little 5'4", 130-pound man that I called Ernest Lay, my father. When it come to fighting the battle, just be calm. Just be cool. Just be collected. God's got it.
Amen?
And that was till the day he died. I stood by Sister Claire Carpenter's bed this past week. We talked about that word the doctor gave to her. There's nothing more we can do. And she said, Jonathan, it's all right. I've lived a long life. And yes, I know Lewis is going to miss me. But it's all right. I'm ready to go home. God's grace is sufficient to help me walk the rest of this path, the rest of this journey. Hallelujah. You see, God gives grace to the humble. Grace, that is God's presence, God's favor, God's power for every need. Grace for salvation. Grace for sanctification. And grace for service.
Amen.
Grace for your pain and for your suffering. God's grace is sufficient. The promise is God's grace is sufficient. That is, God's grace is enough. See, Paul writes this when facing hardship, pain, and struggle. It is the Lord that makes the promise. I want you to see this. It is God that spoke to Paul and said, "My grace is sufficient." It wasn't some other apostle just patting Paul on the shoulder and saying, "Now, Brother Paul, it's going to be all right." Do we have those kind of Christians in the church? No, that's nice. That's all right. There's no problem with that. You know, yeah, I know you've got this problem of the wheelchair hanging on you, but honey, it's going to be all right.
Okay.
It'll all work out somehow.
Praise God.
Amen. It's not just Pastor Lay saying to you, it's going to be all right. Your neighbor's going to get better when you get better. Why? I wouldn't say that. No? Lord, help me. See? I can open my mouth and get in trouble. God opens his mouth, he means business. And he's going to tell it is. And God says to the apostle here, it's going to be all right. This is my word to you. My grace is sufficient. This is the one that's doing the talking is the one who cannot lie. His promise is that grace is sufficient enough to get Paul over into the promised land. When you have a problem, ask yourself, how big is the problem? Then ask yourself, how big is God? Is there any comparison? You notice the scales up there? God on the other side outweighs any problem that can come your way. He outweighs any struggle you'll ever have. He'll outweigh any financial difficulty, any sickness, any health issue you will ever face.
Amen.
You know who is the larger of the two. There's enough grace in God's heart of love to save every sinner. And that, after after he's done that, there's enough grace left over to save all the sinners on a million other universes. Amen? No one is beyond His grace. There is enough grace to give every saint constant victory over sin and then more. There's never a saint who ever has to come into the house of God and say, I'm defeated, I'm downcast, I'm despondent, I'm in despair. You have the grace of God, the promise of God, and you have victory. Amen. So let's begin to act like it. Huh? I know God can, and so can you.
I've got the grace.
God. He's got the grace.
Okay, God,
and He'll give it to you. Maybe to save. Get Him saved. Get Him right with God. I've had those challenges, and God has done it. Amen? See, God's grace. There's enough grace to meet and cope with all your sorrows, all your heartaches, all your difficulties, all your temptations, and all of your testings, and all of your trials of human experience. Do you believe that? Is God's word true?
Yes, it is.
Nobody holding their hands up. Oh my, there I got the third. Is God's grace? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Is God's word true?
Yes.
Is He true to His promise?
Yes.
See, God's grace is shockproof, stainproof, unbreakable, and all sufficient. It is equal to every. I said, every emergency. God's matchless grace came along and moment by moment enabled Paul to make it. And it'll do the same for you and I. When Paul was laying in that pile of stones after they stoned him and led him for dead, they came along, the saints came along and dragged him out of the pile of stones and took him to a house. Little by little, he got back up on his feet and he said to the saints, God's grace is sufficient. I'm going next town and preach. Hallelujah! When he was gathering that wood and that old poisonous viper came out of the wood and bit him on the hand, he didn't just bite him and let go, he held on. And Paul held that serpent up hanging on his arm. Hell held him over the fire. What was Paul said? God's grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. And that old snake dropped off in the fire. And Paul kept right on. Glory. Doesn't matter what the circumstance. His grace is sufficient. Sufficient. You've been hearing me reply over and over the same thing. I want you to get the message. How sufficient is God's grace? The grace of God produces strength. The word sufficient means the power or strength to withstand any danger. That's what Paul's saying. That's what God said to Paul. When God used that word sufficient, He was saying to Paul, you're human. You're experiencing all of these challenges in your life. But I'm telling you, Paul, that you have the power and the strength through me to withstand anything.
Yeah.
God's grace within the believer can carry the believer through anything. Get the message. Somebody say it with me. God can take me through anything.
That's right.
right.
Say it again. God can take me through anything. Say it and add grace. God's grace can take me through anything.
Amen.
For my strength, said God to Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The weaker the believer, the more God can demonstrate His power. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. You see, if a person is self-sufficient, then he does not need God. But if he is weak, he needs God's presence, power, and strength and favor. Amen? The weaker Paul appeared, the greater the Lord would be glorified.
Amen.
That's what it's about. You see, the grace, God's grace, answers the question of why. When we are struggling with some trial, we often ask, why is this happening? Rather, we need to ask ourselves, what is God teaching me? Rather than saying, God, why? I've been a good boy. I've been going to church. I've been paying my tithes, whole 10%. Whole 10%.
Amen.
Whole 10%.
Amen.
When I hear an oh me, I'll quit. Whole 10%.
Amen.
Hello? I've been a good fella. I love everybody. Why are you picking on me for, Lord? Is it the Lord picking on you? Who is it? Give the devil his credit. He's the one. He's the bully. Amen. He's the bully. But we ask that why? When what we should be saying is, what are you trying to teach me, God? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to know? Paul's answer is that God is teaching us the greatness of His power to give Him glory through any circumstance. The grace of God promotes staying power. Listen to Paul again. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Somebody say praise the Lord. Not perplexed, but not despairing. Not persecuted, but by and not forsaken. Struck down, nor destroyed. Hallelujah. We've got all of this coming against us, but praise God, we're standing on top of the heap.
Amen.
Glory. I don't know why, Harry.
You have to experience this partial blindness. I don't know why. But I know one thing. His grace is sufficient. If that's the thorn in the flesh, then like Paul, I can make it.
Amen.
Don't care what it is. Doesn't matter. I'm getting old and having arthritis. Huh? Are you old?
Yes, I'm old.
You said it, I didn't. I just asked the question.
It's not how you feel, it's how old you feel.
How old are you?
That's correct.
I have the other philosophy. I feel young. Is that your word of advice to me? I want you to stick around and watch.
I bought six to seven times at the mall.
Glory.
Isn't that nice?
But God's grace is sufficient. Lung cancer? Yes. But God's grace is sufficient. It doesn't matter the struggle. Kidney stone, Brother Barry, you passed a big one last Sunday. You couldn't come to church. God's grace is still sufficient. He'll get us through. It doesn't matter. We have a friend that dies prematurely. We have struggles in life. We don't understand them. We don't know why. We don't know what all's going on. But I'm telling you, saints of God,
God's word to Paul is, my grace is sufficient. When we as believers recognize the sufficiency of God's grace, then the Lord empowers us to overcome and conquer all infirmities and all weaknesses. So we must not focus on the thorn in the flesh, but we focus on the grace of God and bring Him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul never mentions his thorn again, but just simply goes on serving God. God's grace is what?
Sufficient.
Yes.
Do you believe it? Stand up. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Stand up. In the name of Jesus. Glory. Legs receive strength.
Yes, Lord.
Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. His grace is sufficient.
Yes.
Don't ever mumble and complain about what's happening, what's going on in your life, but just say, God's grace is sufficient. Turn to somebody and testify about it right now. God can get me through this. Hallelujah.